I'd like to call, okay. I'd like to call the meeting to order at this time. Ms. Burnham, if you will, please read the roll call.
I have on team, Colonel Nicholas DeAngelis, Director Bradley Whalen, Deputy Chief of Administration Gina Burrington, Assemblyman Rodney Dial, Mr. Joe Piska, and Mr. Rick Rambo. Then in the room, I have Mr. David Reed, Mr. John Rockwell, myself, Mr. Nicholas Manistock, Mr. Paul Fossey, Mr. Scott Stormo, and Mr. Timothy Woodall. Did I miss anybody? Hearing none, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any opening statements and other announcements?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul Fusby. I do have one. I want to pass on that we do have the new chair in the room for the user council. It's Mr. John Rockwell. And the new vice chair is Ms. Tammy Gojia-Cockrell. She retained her position as vice chair. And to the chair, Mr. Rockwell, if you have anything?
Not at this time, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And any other announcements? Hearing nothing else, we will now move on to the approval of the October meeting minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the October minutes, and do you have any requested changes at this time? Would any of the other council members please offer a motion by stating your name and a second by stating your and a second by stating your name to approve the October meeting minutes?
Brad Whalen, I make a motion to approve the meeting minutes.
And Gina Burrington, I will second.
Are there any objections or further discussion? Hearing none, the motion is passed. Moving on to old business items. For the SIGB, this item is still tabled. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any new updates on the SIGB?
No new updates at this point. Thank you.
The next item is the long-term cost share solution. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And at this time, I just want to make sure that we keep it on the agenda, because it is something that we need to continue moving towards. But with the current administration and budget, it's been very difficult to ascertain what direction we can move. We've, again, as it's stated here, we've looked at many different items. We've looked at everything from your parking tickets to citations to your hunting, fishing permit, to, you know, permanent fund dividend taxes. But nothing has been moved forward through the administration at this time. So no update, but it's important to make sure that we continue to discuss funding the Alaska Land Mobile Radio System. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Moving on, Mr. Woodall, are there any updates on the Intergovernmental Support Agreement?
Yes, the agreements are going through the services, the Army and the Air Force, for coordination up to the signatory level. The Air Force has returned theirs. We're waiting on the Army's. When the Army completes their first round of coordination up to the signatory level, we will then move into final coordination for signature, and at that point, we will the procedure that will follow is that we will run through the Air Force and the Army for signatures on their part, and send both the Army and the Air Force IGSA, whose terms and conditions are about 99% the same, to the state to for final coordination and signature on behalf of the state signing signatory. If during that process the state, or before that process, the state identifies changes, additions, deletions that are required, then we will make those and then get re-signed if we have to, but hopefully those are all identified before signatures are applied. So that's where we're at. Hopefully, I would note that the authorities at the Department of the, at the Secretary of the Air Force level and Department of Army level only give us 6 months after their approval to get the IGSA in place. Otherwise, we have to go back up to them for approval. So we're getting close to that window, but I think if in the month of February we can give signatures on the document, then we can sign it, but then we can later determine when it actually goes into implementation. So that's a, if that's an issue, maybe we can make it go into implementation on the signing of the new contract. So that would be all I have unless there's questions.
Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell. I don't have a question, but I do have a statement. The IGSA has been sent over as a draft. I've been reviewing it as each change has come up. I do not see any issue with what I'm reading so far. I have not presented it to the commissioner's office yet, but we're close enough that I should be able to do that within the next few weeks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next is radio inventory. Mr. Fussy, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I do. So we're still working with the agencies, removing the old FDMA radios. And you'll see further on here during my briefing on the subscriber unit. And we are still turning on agencies, thought groups to TDMA. The latest was the Eielson Snow Group. They've been activated, turned on for TDMA. They haven't had any issues with that at all. And also with the Eielson there, that includes all snow removal and plow units. We've been monitoring that with TDMA. But it is ongoing, and once again, our goal, and the keyword is goal, is to have every radio TDMA capable by December 31st of 2026.
Okay. Next is the Motorola Operations Services contract, or I'm sorry. Next is the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDA. Mr. Rockwell, do you have any updates on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We have gone through the process of awarding the bid and work order for the upgrade of the Rabinowitz Courthouse BDAs. The work has been moving forward. Unfortunately, I did not check to see what the anticipated date for closure is. The bid came in at what we anticipated. We also have funding to basically mirror what we've done at the Rabinowitz for the Palmer Courthouse. And we've already gotten a request for proposal out for Palmer. Scott Sturbo, do you recall any dates from Patrick?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either when they're hoping to finish it up. But it's in the works now, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Now, next is the Motorola Operations Services contract. Mr. Stormo, do you have any updates on this?
Just that we've got budgetary proposals from both expected offerers, per se. And the infrastructure owners, DOD, and the state need to get together, start talking about requirements, any changes to those requirements, cost share, existing funding that we expect to have, and then start pressing forward on how we want to try to execute those follow-on contracts.
Thank you.
Do not have issues at this time.
Yeah, the only thing, Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell again. The only thing that I want to mention is We are anticipating those, let's just say quotes, right, at this point, to be almost doubled on the Motorola side. And the reason is, if you recall, this has been a 10-year no-cost upgrade project for Motorola. And with that, you know, we need to anticipate different services, different service offerings. We are trying to make sure that we have at least apples and apples as we compare pricing. We've had to bifurcate some of the offerings to look at what that would mean for the infrastructure owners. This is also a year that budgets are very tight. And so, as Scott mentioned, the infrastructure owners need to get together to make some strong determinations. We are doing everything we can to keep it at least a like service, understanding that the budget would be or needing to be increased dramatically.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions or comments on any of the old business items? Having completed the old business, Mr. Rockwell, would you please update us on the user council?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. The first item I want to address is we do have a new member for the SOA DOT primary representative, and it is Amber Schumpert, and that puts Mr. Henry Cole as the alternate member for DOT. Also, as far as our action items, we have closed our Motorola APX/Next briefing. Motorola gave us a very exhaustive briefing on the offerings for the APX units, the Next units, the Paul, what's the new radio?
The APX N70s.
N70s, thank you very much. As well as the N70s. We discussed the different functionalities as well as the inclusion of the Connect software. I'm sorry for stuttering here. I did not write this down. But the software solution that will be available for some of the newer technology radios to be able to connect to the ALMR system over broadband. We have quite a few users that are very excited about that offering, and I appreciate everybody's help getting it through the FedRAMP approval process. Also, we talked a little bit about the need for SUA, and SUA basically allows us to prepay upgrades for the system. Currently, we are on 20.1, and the life cycle of that will be coming up in a few short years as far as being able to maintain that version. What SUA does, it prepays, but on a reduced dollar figure. And we've been talking about the need, and so we are stretching to discuss budgetary, you know, issues for that. Also, the MCC 7500 consoles are going to be end of life. And so we are communicating to all of the dispatch centers that they will need to start looking at upgrading those to the newer AXS consoles. Another issue that we discussed quite a bit is this has been a very harsh year weather-wise. And so I'd like to open up the floor, if you approve, to Scott Stormo to kind of update the Executive Council on some of the issues that he's been facing and the, you know, managing the ALMR and SATS network. Scott, can you give us just some highlights of some of the issues that you've been facing this year?
Sure, a lot of it has been wind or storm related, and it's not necessarily, some of it is related to the aging infrastructure, some of it is just the last of the tough place. We've got a dish that is ripped off the tower at Divide. We're very fortunate to have had an agreement in place with a co-location person there that was able to give us an alternate circuit through their equipment to be able to continue to support Valdez Dispatch and the Valdez RF site on the wide area system. We had a newer dish installed at Cooper Mountain. The feed horn failed on it. So we were in the process of having that replaced. In the process of having it replaced, the helicopter took off and blew the new dish off the side of the mountain. So, you know, sometimes it's weather, sometimes it's bad luck, for lack of a better explanation. But we really have had, and you may have seen it recently in the news, there's an AT&T tower out in Palmer that basically snapped in half. It's a tough environment up here. You know, the requirements for maintaining things like towers are pretty rigorous. And if anybody was doing it, I would have thought it would have been AT&T, and they had a tower break in half. So there's a lot out there. We don't have enough people, don't have enough money. That's kind of the gist of the story. I am concerned that we are entering into a window that's going to be difficult to get out of. We're going to have a lot of deferred maintenance. We discovered a couple of towers that are basically unserviceable and need to be replaced and are at risky to even be climbing them. We're entering a phase where I think a lot of capital funds are going to be required to, you know, rehab and continue to keep the system functioning in the way that it needs to be, as close to 5.9 as possible.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it. Mr. Chair, that ends my report, pending any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Are there any questions for John at this point? Mr. Fussy, would you please provide the OMO update?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to. First, I want to start out with, want to say welcome to Mr. Dial, the new Alaska Municipal League representative. Welcome. And we'll start with the training and outreach. So Mr. Nelson has created a new training video on scan functions of the radio. That's been updated on the website. And then in December, him and I sat down and trying to work out a training schedule for 2026. Using feedback that we're getting from the field on items that they want addressed or training videos. So we've got it the next 5 months lined out for training videos, and we're still looking at a YouTube channel. So that was brought up at one of the user council meetings. The issue we're trying to work around is the DOD individuals are unable to access YouTube from their work computers. So, and it will just be the same training videos that we put out now. There'll be nothing new for security reasons. That was also brought up. So we're still working on that one for the training videos. Mary's going to start sending out emails to all the members to confirm and update their contact information for the membership agreement. So we start that preliminary, and then we start working on the cost shares and then the membership agreements. Really good meeting here 2 days ago. So Patrick Thornton and I were asked to give a presentation on BDA data systems, bidirectional amplifiers, at the Alaska Fire and Building Officials Forum. There was approximately 50 different fire marshals from across the state there. So we gave our presentation. We had a lot of Q&A from the fire marshals on the BDA requirements, the FCC requirements for licenses. So it went really well. Coming up, the ABCO IMUNA, which is Association of Public Safety Communications Officials, and that's one of the conferences I go to, and then the National Emergency Number Association meetings. They've been, lack of a better term, a little hiatus over the holidays, but they're going to start back up here in January. So I'd like to sit down on those and listen to any concerns or questions from the dispatch center to make sure that we're taking care of them through the AMR help desk. Second week in March, and I know it's a couple months away, but our next quarterly will be after this. I will be attending training at the International Wireless Communication Expo, and I believe there will be a couple other state individuals going there, and I usually have folks from the Kenai Peninsula Dispatch and Matsu Bureau going there. So we do have a very strong Alaska representation there. The quarterly newsletter was sent out today, so that, as a reminder to everyone, that is mailed out to all the legislatures, and then Mary also posts that on our website. Back in December, the management office and I, we attended a meeting regarding the Kenai Peninsula Borough IT Director. They are in current talks right now to add a cell tower in Churigan Pass. So they'll need a cell tower from a cell company, but they're also working with Chugach Electric to possibly put a substation in there. We have a gap of about 7 miles in Churigan Pass that we have very poor to no AMR coverage. And if this goes through and Kenai Peninsula Borough is able to make this work, it'd be nice if we could piggyback somehow and add AMR equipment or SAS equipment to the tower. But that's just the beginning talk, but it would help us out there. It also help the troopers, Chugach National Forest, the Girdwood Fire Department, DOT, that cover that area. Coming up here, January 26th to the 30th, the Genesis team will be here upgrading the our infrastructure. Through the chair, Nick, can you touch on what they're going to be upgrading?
Pretty much they're going to be, just bringing the current physical hardware up to today's standards. There's some new features within the software. I believe they're moving away from the, lack of better terms, application-based, but going to be more kind of web-based, but not in the sense of like internet web, but local hosted web, so HTML type of sense. There's as someone keeps reminding me, a new dark mode coming to it as well. And some other features that are going along with it, but it's just a typical hardware upgrade and feature capability increase.
Thank you, Nick. So continuing on, Mr. Chair, the weekly meetings are still taking place regarding the fiber upgrades on J-Bear. Motorola was up here in November. They were working on the Zone 4, which is the A1 system, updating their transcoders for TDMA use. And Nick and I came in and conducted the quarterly security patch for all the zones in December. There weren't any issues with that. So for both days, it went smooth. And Mr. Rockwell touched on this a little bit, but I do have this in my notes just to make sure the executive council is aware. But the current ASTRO 25 operating system is 2021.1, and the end of the standard support period for this software operating system is January 13th, 2025. And the end of the extended support is scheduled for January 13th, 2028. Now, I know that's 2 years out. However, we're already bringing up the current state budget proposals, FY27. Through the chair, Mr. Reed, our security manager, has his hand up.
On top of that, with the extended support period being out to 2028, that does not include some of our systems which are on a version of Windows 10. That is already out of support. So one of the things to keep aware of is that there are some Windows 10 systems on the network right now that are out of support.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Does anybody have any questions for me before I go to the metrics?
Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell again. I just want to make sure that I've got clarified the Genesis upgrade. Now, the Genesis software is to track and maintain the actual throughput of the system, right? I mean, could you go into detail, Nick, on what Genesis provides?
Sure. So it's not the, the maintaining of the system is not necessarily the throughput. It's more of showing
analytics.
That's actually the proper word to use. So it reports, you know, what radios used, you know, airtime or when they pushed to talk, where they pushed to talk, who they talked to, you know, site usage, you know, just similar things like that, analytic-based reports.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further questions from anybody? All right. I'll be continuing on, Mr. Chair. So what I'm going to start out with, so what everybody's used to looking at is the last 2 years. I've got 2026 on here, but we don't have any stats for January yet because January hasn't closed out. At the last user council meeting, Mr. Henry Cole from DOT asked us to do a couple of years analyst on this. So I will go through the old version, if you will, of the metrics, and then I'll bring in the one that Nick was kind enough to build off for me for starts. It goes all back to 2022, just to show you how much the system is used. So if we go to group individual calls for December, we had 1,962,180. Push to talks, we had 2,885,933. Monthly busies, we only had 146. As you can see, that number's dropped precipitously, which we'd like to see at all times. Sites below 39 were three of them. And that's even with some of the other issues that Mr. Stormo brought up. And they were Money Knob, Banana, and Valdez, microwave backhaul issues. We start looking at our subscribers. As you can see, they're broken down in the state of Alaska, DOD, Alaska Municipality, which is the AWARN system is in gray. And then we do have the federal non-DOD. And we look at totality. Right now we're at 32,451 of that. State of Alaska at 9,399. DOD, 9,229. Alaska Municipal League, which also includes A1, 11,924. Federal non-DOD was 1,899. We've been very proactive and been thanking everybody in the user council the last couple of months. We are at 33,000 subscriber licenses. In August, we went over that number. Nick and his team and I started getting really proactive, talking to people, having them fill out subscriber requests to take their old radios off that are not using. They've got a cache radios in a closet, saving them for a rainy day. They're not using them. They can't be upgraded. They went through and started removing them, and as you can see the number slowly is dropping down. We're 32,451, and we're still being proactive with the other groups to make sure that they get rid of the old radios. And we're still getting subscriber requests coming in constantly with that one. So that's the normal. What I'm going to do here, can everybody see the new metrics with the years 2022 and 2026 on them?
Yes.
Thank you. So, like I said, Mr. Henry Cole wanted to show what's been happening the last couple of years. So Nick built this out for us. Also, if you look for a monthly group of individual calls, the lowest month for the year was February 2022. And obviously the highest month in year was December 2025. So over the years, the numbers have been going up. Obviously the subscriber numbers have gone up, but 2025 was one of the highest years as we go through here. If you look at your monthly group and individual calls, once again, December 2025 was the highest. February of 2022 is the lowest, but you can see where it would drop down every year, but 2025, the numbers have just gone up precipitously. Monthly group and individual calls. Oh, the same one, hold on. There we go, apologize for that. monthly push to talks. And if you look at the monthly busies, again, the numbers drop down here. 2025 was the lowest. And you start looking at monthly sites below 3.9. Remember, the site is designed for 99.999% up. But we go to the 3.9s. And look at the numbers here. July 2022 was the lowest, and February 2022, the highest and the lowest. But it gives you a better idea of what is happening with the system instead of just doing a 1 year. And then we just have the numbers for December in here, because obviously we can't keep track for 4 years worth of sites. But does anybody have any questions on the new metrics graph? Hearing none, I'll go through, and I don't have a graph for this one, Mr. Chair. However, totals for 2025 for the calls were 20,096,810. That's up 12% from 24. Push to talks were 31,645,127, a 9% increase from 2024. And busies were 7,059. For a percentage of 0.0223% of the total push to talks. Final articles here are the other items, and the quarterly vulnerability scan report was completed. That's created by Nick and his team, and that is required under System Vulnerability Management Policy 400-6. And the monthly offsite inspections were all completed since our last meeting. That completes our report, Mr. Chair, pending any questions.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Paul on any of these items?
Yes, Mr. Woodall, through the chair. Paul, with regard to the 2025 busies to the 2025 increase in subscriber use, is the busies declined, stayed steady, or increased?
Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, let me go back to the metrics. So in 2024, we had 210 busies, and that for the month, I don't have the total for 2024, I just get the total for 2025. So I don't have that answer for you. Well, what's the total for 2024? I'd have to add them up, and I don't want to take time during the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I think the question here is we've shown a growth in the numbers of subscribers on the system. And if we have a growth in the number of subscribers and a decrease in busies, what would account for that? I guess that's the question. I mean, that's a good thing. We're increasing user base, and busies are going down. Is that somehow related to TD Bay operations, or is it somehow uptime because the system was going through an upgrade and now it's not? I just wanted to understand. It seems like somehow we're not getting as many busies, but we're increasing the user base. I just was looking for an explanation.
It would be a little bit related to TDMA, and it would be a little bit related to particular incidents, a major traffic accident around a three-channel site or fires around a three-channel site will generate a lot of busies. If you get a fire around a five- or six-channel site, it may not generate a lot of busies. So it would really be a lot of case-by-case analysis. I know we have not moved as many people onto TDMA as of yet as I think we'd like to see. We'd like to faster get everybody cut over to TDMA. There are a lot of people who could be cut over, but we've learned through the process sometimes when you switch a talk group over to it, not everybody's radio was programmed properly, and suddenly they're having communications problems. So it's a slower process than we would like it to be to get everybody turned over to TDMA, even after they've made the investment in the right radio.
Right. And I think the point that was trying to clarify here is that as we move to TDMA, the expectation should be that our busies would decline. I believe that's a good, solid expectation. Is that correct?
The chair, Mr. Woodall, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
As we've seen in the Tri-Valley area, Clear, Anderson Fire Department, those are smaller sites, but when we went through and activated them to TDMA, and they all have TDMA-capable radios, we're anticipating the numbers of busies to go down for that one. Also in Eielson, TDMA, we've also, everybody except for one entity in Metsubiru are now on TDMA, and we're seeing that on the board as we go through and take a look. And we have smaller departments in Kenai Peninsula that are TDMA, which is dropping the smaller sites, the number of busies.
And that would be a good thing to advertise to motivate the user base to move to TDMA faster, because it makes the system more efficient and have less busies during operations. So that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Okay, on to new business. I believe, Mr. Woodall, you have something for the group?
I do, Mr. Chair. Actually have two items to consider for new business. As I'm not a voting member, I can't make a motion, but I do propose a motion. As you heard earlier in the discussion about the new contract and about the system and the system maintenance and then the life cycle upgrade cost, is our we have over the number of years struggled with being able to align all of the agencies so that they're funding the infrastructure owners, so that their funding aligns so that we could do capital investment upgrades from time to time. We also struggle, of course, with the long-term maintenance costs and the cost of upgrades from a capital perspective, and then the system having to go into, often we go beyond the life cycle of a system, which is what we're about to do, or which we're already into or past the date. And we get into a situation where we have to ask Motorola to do things that they're not comfortable doing. And one of those things is, in our cyber protection perspective, continue to deliver patching to our system when our system is actually out of compliance from a technology constraint perspective. So moving to a system upgrade agreement in the contract would be advantageous for us, because it addresses a lot of these issues, or all of these issues, and mitigates them. And so as such, I'd like to propose a motion that the Executive Council endorses the move to a system upgrade agreement within the new contract scope as the most cost-effective and future-proofing method in mitigating the risks of multiple agency appropriation alignment, risk of obsolescence, cyber protection deficiencies, and rapidly changing technology. That endorsement would not mandate the move, but it would show an endorsement or support for mitigating those reasons. And in moving into the new contract, we anticipate the standard maintenance costs to increase, and SUA would have an impact on that. So it may be an approach that we could take would be to carry SUA as an option, or that is phased in overall in between the first and 5 year of the contract. So anyways, that is the proposed motion. I would need an authorized member, voting member, concur with that motion. And if there's further discussion, then floor is open for that.
All right, I move to look into and endorse a system upgrade agreement as part of the new contract scope.
Gina Burrington, I'll second.
Any further discussion, questions, concerns?
Mr. Chair, this is John Rockwell. Again, since we're open the floor for discussion items, I just want to remind everybody here that Deputy Commissioner Leon Morgan is not at the table to discuss this, that he and the commissioner would be the ones that would be working through the budget to get this approved through the governor's office. And OMB and the legislators. And so if before a motion like this is passed, I would just ask that maybe it could be discussed with him. And that's just a comment from me on looking at it from the DPS perspective. Thank you, sir.
So through the chair, Mr. Rockwell, are you requesting that the motion be tabled or it be sent out via email for clarification?
This is John Rockwell, through the chair. I am not making a request. I am just bringing up an issue that I feel that before it is voted on, that I think Leon should have some say. Since he is not here, my recommendation would be it be tabled or maybe even a meeting set up to discuss this particular issue. We might not want to wait for the next quarterly meeting. And, you know, I just want to make sure that I don't represent him in any other light than, you know, something of this financial magnitude.
Well, I understand that the motion does not mandate the requirement to move to a SUA. It endorses it as a goal or as a way of mitigating some of these significant issues that we face over the time. So it's not necessarily something that when it comes down to implementation of a contract and the cost therein, if SUA is too expensive to be executed, it doesn't undo the endorsement that SUA be looked at and as a good idea for mitigating these actions. It just says that in the contract process, we should examine it as a priority in terms of the services that would be rendered. So encapsulated that way, I don't know if it has the same thing, but it's. And I would recommend rather than tabling it for 90 days or a quarter, we would already be deep into the new contract negotiation process. And if SUA is something we want to be considered in that contract, then I would think it would be more advantageous if we need Mr. Morgan's yes on this or no on this would be that we do it, we send it out as email. So the motion be sent by email for approval and if a meeting is then required to further explain it, then we could do that, but in a more hastily function to facilitate the contract requirements processes for PWS. So at this point, I don't know how to resolve that. Through the chair, do you have a solution that you would propose?
So my motion, as I understood it, kind of as you explained, was that the executive council endorsed it, was not mandating it as an avenue and something to look to and incorporate into the new contract. I would have to defer to, you know, the user council on the best way to facilitate the discussion and research, I guess, to present to Commissioner Morgan or the executive council to actually execute it. Over.
Since this endorsement is time sensitive with regard to moving into new contract negotiations and having this being looked at as a priority. Is there some way to motion that we examine it on a expedited basis to gain executive council concurrence or endorsement from that perspective, and maybe the motion include that it be coordinated by email with a closeout date within 2 weeks or something like that?
Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, just making suggestions, the motion could be amended to add your wording underneath, and then with an amendment to the amendment, sending it out via email for executive council discussion with a feedback and vote by the end of January. So you could amend it.
Can you read that as it would be amended for record?
I can do that, Mr. Woodall. So a suggestion to the executive council would be to amend the motion with the added wording: endorsement does not mandate the move, but it does support the move and will aid in setting a strategy for lifecycle management, predictable budgets, and cost control that can be normalized through implementing the SUA approach for lifecycle management and integrated into the day-to-day infrastructure maintenance requirements of the shared ALMR infrastructure. That would be an amendment. Then if the executive council so chooses, they can amend it to that with that wording, have discussion on the amendment, and then they could amend the amendment with a closeout date of the end of January with discussion and vote by the members, and then they could vote on the amended amendment by the end of January.
Sorry about the complications.
Robert's rules.
All right.
And Mr. Chair, this is Mr. Rockwell. I concur with everything that Paul just said to amend the actual motion and then send it out for discussion and vote by the end of January. My comment was only that I'd like to include Mr. Morgan in the discussion, right? From a LMR user perspective, the user council, we have discussed this many times. Financially, it makes sense. Strategically, it makes sense as far as keeping the infrastructure at a ready state.
Roger. So I move to amend the motion that the Executive Council endorses the move to ASUA, is not mandating it, and it'll be further discussed amongst the Executive Council to include Commissioner Morgan via email by the end of this month, January 2026.
As written.
As written.
I assume you need a second on that. I will do that.
Thank you, Gina.
We need a vote. So, in discussion first.
Yeah, discussion. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, this is Paul. Is there any, sorry to speak, I apologize. Is there any discussion on the motion as amended?
Negative. Is there a second order of new business, Mr. Woodall, or?
Well, I think you have to vote.
You need to vote on the motion.
Yeah, on the amended motion. The motion as amended. Mr. Chair, would you like Mary to read the four names for votes?
Yes.
Colonel DeAngelo, how do you vote?
I vote for.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Mary. She's really, her volume was really low. What are we?
I asked Colonel DeAngelis how he, what his vote was, and he responded for.
She's doing a roll call vote. Yeah.
Thank you, I understand.
And since you're right there, Gina, how would you vote?
Affirmative, yes.
Director Wayland?
Affirmative.
And is someone in dial?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Mr. Woodall, through the chair, a second new business issue to consider for motion. From time to time and often for extended period of times, the Executive Council voting members are sometimes absent, and the charter for the Executive Council does not permit delegation of those authorities that are given to the voting member. I would make a motion that the charter be amended to allow the primary member to delegate authorities on a temporary basis when absence, when they have an absence for reason. This would mitigate, because of the distance between before when we were meeting monthly, if one month was missed and you had to bring up a vote the next month, that's not that big of an impact. But if they're missed and it's quarterly, and then if they miss double quarters or triple quarters, or sometimes the entire year, then you have a primary member not being represented at the table and unable to vote, and therefore sometimes creates issues with the operation of the Executive Council. So a proposed motion would be to amend the charter to permit a voting member to temporarily for reason delegate services per a single Executive Council meeting.
Does anyone have any questions or concerns about this proposed motion?
Through the chair, Mr. Woodall, just to make sure I understand, it's not carte blanche, but case by case or meeting by meeting. So yeah, it's not giving up their delegation, delegate for the whole year or something. It's just per incident.
Right. They can't be there, so they delegate to a person to sit in and with the authorization to vote and to conduct business during a meeting for that reason.
Through the chair, thanks, Mr. Ward. I'm just making sure my notes are correct.
And I'm thinking selfishly because my boss will be leaving and there might be a gap between his replacement. And so there may be very important things as we get into the contract and so forth. So having that delegation of authority. And then an example would be Mr. Morgan, who's been out for some time doing very important business. And therefore, it would be good to give him the option to delegate should he choose to do so. So again, it's up to the voting member to choose to or not to do, but it would give them the ability to delegate their authorities temporarily on a per meeting basis. So we would need a second to that.
We need a motion.
We need a motion.
I appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yes.
So are you looking for a motion to make a decision now or have discussion in drafting a new amendment to the charter?
A motion to change the charter to authorize a member to make a per meeting decision to our authority to delegate their authorities.
Mr. Chair,
this is Brad Whalen. Sorry, Gina. I was about to talk over you. You can go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say I'm a little hesitant, more so for two reasons. One is just continuity. Just throwing someone in because, to be honest, I've been on this board for about 2 years now. And because this is outside my normal comfort zone, I'm finally beginning to understand a lot of what's covered in it. The other catch is getting someone from, some of the organizations, my organization that I sit on this for is the Federal Executive, board. And that is a meeting as infrequent as this one, once a quarter. And so just getting somebody to sit in could be problematic. I mean, I typically will arrange my leave and stuff like that around this meeting just because it's so infrequent that I can push leave, a week or so here and there because I'm old and I don't have kids, so I don't have to worry about things like that. That's just kind of my thoughts. Go ahead, Gina.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't know the charter well enough, like without reading it and understanding exactly what changes we are going to be made. And then not only would we have to decide that, yes, we're willing to allow people to delegate, but that we'd then have to outline the process for doing so. Like, who do we notify? How do we notify them? And so I was just trying to pull up the charter while I was sitting here. And like, is there, if you have a boss who's, I assume you meant like leaving the department and won't be in that role, like, does the charter allow your agency to like select someone to sit in it in an interim like capacity? I guess that's my question. I just don't know it well enough to know the answer.
No, it does not. It basically states that you cannot delegate. You are appointed And then once appointed, you cannot delegate those responsibilities. So the idea would be allowing the delegation on a limited basis, on a per one meeting basis, but not in a long term. So if you had someone that was leaving, then you would expect a new appointment to
right.
So through the chair, Deputy Tina, I do have a pull up here in Article 3 membership in the organization executive council charter. The ALMR executive council is comprised of federal, state, tribal, local, municipal, governmental agencies whose representatives shall be appointed by their respective agencies and must be at an executive level empowered to provide a binding voice and vote for that agency. Members may not delegate their authority to any other individual.
Right. Yeah, I got to it finally, too.
Sorry, I apologize. I was trying to find it quick.
No, that's very helpful.
Well, this is Rodney Guile. I move to call the question.
Can you repeat that? I don't think Mary got that.
Call the question and end debate so we can move on.
I don't.
And since there is no motion, it's removed.
Yep. All right. Is there any other new business? Nothing heard. So the next meeting is scheduled for April 16th. Please check your calendars and let Mary know if you
have something for new business.
Oh, okay.
The user council approved all the annual reports. And so I will be sending the executive council the annual report, and we'll be asking for a response on whether you need those, approve those, reject those, you know, or if there's any discussion about them. But I will need a vote back from each member that's telling me whether they approve or reject, and I'll give you give them 2 weeks to get that back to me.
Okay.
And that's all I have.
Thank you. So on to the next meeting. The next meeting is scheduled for April 16th. Please check your calendars and let Mary know if you have any conflicts. Is there anything else anyone would like to offer at this time? At this time, I'll accept a motion and then a second from any of the council members to adjourn the meeting.
Brad Whalen, I make a motion to adjourn.
Rodney Dial, second.
The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Guys.
Thank you, everyone.